This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, with the great multitude, wiping away of every tear, silence in heaven, the first four trumpets, and the fifth trumpet, part one. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Whenever you do something about representation or diversity or whatever, there's always pushback. How would you counter that, I suppose?
Well, I mean, the real truth is those people are idiots. I mean, I think throughout history you can see every time there's been social advancement as we wake up. I mean, the American story, the human story is one of constant social awakening and growth, and that's what makes us good, and you know, when that happens, there's always going to be people who are afraid and unaware and trying to hold on to what was before, but those people die off like dinosaurs. And so, you know, I think the goal is to pay them no mind, march forward, and embrace the growth that makes us human.
That's actor Chris Evans speaking recently on Reuters Television about the opponents of LGBTQ characters in children's films. We've come a long ways, haven't we? From just wondering what was going on in these children's films. Maybe they were depicting the family negatively or fathers negatively. Now they're all out. Disney, Pixar, they say, look, you're going to like this. Your kids are going to like this or else. And if you don't, we don't care about you. You're going to like the LGBTQ agenda in your children's entertainment. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about comments made by actor Chris Evans about the opponents of the LGBTQ agenda in children's films. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. He's pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Childless Chris Evans Inspiring Condemnation of Anti-LGBT Bigots. Those people die off like dinosaurs. Hans, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Do you think that the childless classes, including those in the LGBTQ community, are so earnest in going after our kids and grandkids because they don't have any of their own and they know they face a demographic winter?
Yeah, it's a little bit like if you remember the religious group, the Shakers, where one of their kind of main tenet was that they were celibate. They eventually died out because it's really hard to keep a religious movement going when you don't have children who are the easiest converts to that religious system, to whatever extent you can be considered a convert if you're ultimately raised in it. And I think that's a big issue in the LGBT community is as much as they kind of present things as though the only reason people disapprove of homosexual relationships or gay marriage or trans identities or all of this is just because of bigotry that they're taught. That tends to be one of the main assertions of this kind of ideological crowd. As much as they say that, I think deep down they do recognize that you do actually have to convert every generation. That this doesn't work like Christianity where people come to the faith, they baptize their kids, and then presuming there's not major cultural upheaval of one way or another, they tend to stay Christian. And you don't have to kind of reteach them the same things every time and really, really, really have to work hard to kind of deprogram them of the things that they just sort of naturally assume. So kids who come into the world have a mother and father around to some extent, not necessarily as much as they should. So they naturally assume that moms and dads are the way of things. And they know that moms grow the babies in their tummies. And they know that there are differences between men and women. So that's naturally apparent to kids. Whereas kind of the view of gender identity and human sexuality that you'll find in gender studies programs at universities, that takes a lot of work to get people to think that way. And I think this is a huge reason for why it is that you're seeing a major effort on the part of huge corporations, media, government, all sorts of institutions to introduce kids to LGBT content at a very young age, because they recognize you have to start getting to them as early as possible in order to get them to disavow the most natural conclusions that they're going to draw about those things. So I think when people don't have their own kids that they can sort of brainwash or intellectually form to share their ideas, then the next step is to try to convert other people's children away from the worldviews that they are passing on to them.
So who is Chris Evans, and what led up to his public comments about the critics of the LGBTQ movement?
Chris Evans is an actor, most famous for playing Captain America in the Avengers films, in the Marvel films. And he's also the voice of Buzz Lightyear in the new Disney Pixar movie that has been released recently called Lightyear. It's a kind of convoluted idea where it's the origin story of the toy from the Toy Story movies, and the toy in the movies was voiced by Tim Allen, very comical character, but the movie presents it as a kind of straight-faced, sort of genuine science fiction, mostly dramatic tale. So Disney has been on kind of the woke bandwagon for quite some time, and they're making a big effort to include all sorts of LGBT characters and content in their films and their programming that's typically aimed at younger kids. So the film features a relatively brief same-sex kiss between a secondary character and her pretend wife in the movie. So there have been a number of people that have obviously complained about this and said that Disney is not being what Disney is meant to be by kind of loading up family-friendly material with stuff that's just kind of agitating LGBT propaganda. So Chris Evans, who voices Buzz Lightyear in this film, was very critical of that and basically said that the kind of people who would object to this are idiots, that they're cultural dinosaurs who are just trying to hold on to an ancient, hateful way of life that is soon no longer going to exist. And we just simply need to ignore them while they basically go the way of the dodo.
Now, you find it ironic to the point that you, in your Federalist article, engage in one of the most extended, lengthy bits of sarcasm, and you do it very well. Sarcasm is very difficult to maintain over 2.5 pages.
Thank you.
Why did you take that approach to this rather than turning around and just having a conversation like we are having? Why did you decide, look, I'm just going to soak in the irony, so to speak?
Yeah, I think I took that approach because sometimes when you're dealing with this kind of woke brain virus, people will just simply deny things that are abundantly true. And this is a really good example of this, where you've heard this line for quite some time that people who are pro-gay marriage, now the people who are pro-children gender transitioning and having their genitals cut off at a young age or being chemically sterilized, they will tell you that they are on the right side of history. And you just say, well, history is written by the people that exist, and you guys don't have nearly as many kids as the supposedly bigoted, hateful people that you keep insisting are going to go extinct. We're the ones reproducing, and you're not. And it's so ridiculously obvious that it's just comical, and it deserves nothing but scorn when people just sort of hand wave it away as though that has no bearing in reality, as though, no, we just needed a little bit of a cultural kick in the rear. And then from now on and forever, everyone is going to be okay with drag queens gyrating in front of children and 8-year-old kids having their entire reproductive future destroyed because they got caught up in a cultural craze. So just the utter unwillingness of people to acknowledge, oh, well, actually, if our worldview causes us to have fewer children, maybe we shouldn't be super confident that we're going to win in the end. Christians, for example, believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We believe the claims of Christianity are true over and against the claims of Islam. But many Christians will certainly say it's still a kind of a cause for concern if you're, say, living in a nation where the Muslims are having three times as many children as the Christians are, or at least the nominal Christians are. So you see this, for example, in European countries, that we still believe Jesus is going to win in the end. We still believe that Jesus will return and he will show that he is, in fact, the Son of God, contrary to the denials of the Muslims. But we also recognize, well, if we want to kind of keep a world where our claims to the truth are protected, and that's not something that happens in Muslim majority countries, we should kind of take stock of the fact that they're having a lot more children than we are, and that has ideological and cultural ramifications. And just the absurdity of a 41-year-old guy, 41-year-old actor who has no children, insisting that these backwards, these dinosaurs, these wretched Christians over here, this wretched Christian homeschooling family with their 10 children, that they're going to go the way of the Stegosaurus, while literally his line would die with him right now if he were to die today, God forbid. It's just such an utterly absurd thing and thoughtless and shallow thing to suggest that it deserves nothing but mockery and scorn.
Why can't the woke class engage in any nuance or draw any lines? Why can't they say, well, I'm all in favor of extending rights to LGBTQ persons, but a drag queen reading to, or as you said, maybe even performing for preschoolers, that's probably not a good idea. Or forcibly transitioning children through chemical and surgical means, that's a bad idea. Why can't they draw any lines or engage in any nuance?
Well, it's because what they're actually animated by is not the desire for justice. It's not the desire for equal representation or equal protection of the law for people who identify as transgender or whatever it might be. This push for gay marriage was never about gay marriage. It's always been about seeking to undermine and destroy the cultural influence of Christianity in the Western world. So what animates the woke is not really the desire for equality. I saw a while ago when Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner was speaking out against biological males competing in women's sports, that there are a bunch of people who were saying things online sort of to the extent of, well, we are revoking Caitlyn Jenner's trans card. She's no longer Caitlyn Jenner. He is back to being Bruce. So in other words, they completely abandoned all of their claims as to what true identity is the second that someone articulated a belief that they didn't agree with. So it's not about justice. It's not about equality. It's not about building a world where people are comfortable. It's about being haunted by the possibility that Jesus really is Lord, that the claims of the Christian faith are true. It's about wanting to protect yourself from the fear and the anxiety of that by silencing and destroying any influence that the Christian world has over your culture. And therefore, it's about doing whatever it is that you can conjure up that is going to offend and enrage the Christian world, that you become convinced that doing something that they find offensive is in and of itself good, and therefore they'll support anything. So, I mean, this is why the woke crowd is 5 years away from, we'd be lucky if it's 5 years away, but let's just say 5 years away from full-throated endorsing pedophilia. Because if you can get your culture to just sort of accept or roll their eyes at drag queens gyrating in front of children and 8-year-olds serving as drag queens at the pleasure of grown perverse men, if you can make that culturally acceptable, then what's next? That's about the only thing that's left at that point. So the only consistent thing in the woke worldview is, does this anger the Christian God and his followers? And if it does, then that's what we're going to be about.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about comments made by actor Chris Evans about the opponents of LGBTQ characters in children's films. On the other side, we'll hear a little bit more from Chris Evans and get Pastor Feeney's response to his contention that all of this is progress.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, June the 22nd, we're talking about comments made by actor Chris Evans regarding the opponents of LGBTQ characters in children's films. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. Hans, this is what Evans said. Every time there's been social advancement as we wake up, the American story, the human story, is one of constant social awakening and growth, and that's what makes us good. What is he saying, and how do you respond?
Yeah, well, I was just about to say that that's not a historical statement. That's a religious statement. That is an utterly, laughably, historically false statement. I mean, if you just look, for example, at things like race relations, race is probably the best example of something that has gone from a very ugly place in this country's history to a pretty great place. But going from where we were at the founding of our country to now has not been a straight line. It's had ebbs and flows and going backwards and forward. It's had ugly moments and beautiful moments. And every generation has different blind spots. Every generation has different challenges. So in the same way that we look back on the generations that supported slavery and are abhorred by that and unable to understand how they couldn't see the humanity that they were denying, future generations will look back at us for what we've done with abortion. They'll look back at what we've done with abandoning our elderly to disgusting nursing homes and things of that nature. And likewise, there will be generations in the future that will erode the humanity of whoever stands in the way of them achieving the things that they want to achieve in that moment. So it's just completely false and utterly laughable to assert from a kind of historical standpoint. The way everything works is that it used to be that we weren't nice to 78% of people, but that number has gotten higher all throughout history. That's just entirely false. But yeah, what it is it's a religious claim. It's basically the idea that as we pursue these kind of vague categories of social justice, we are becoming a more righteous people. And therefore, the more that we embrace the marginalized, the more holy that we've become. But of course, the problem is that eventually you run out of people who are marginalized for bad reasons, and you have to then start defending people who've been marginalized for good reasons, because those are the only ones left. So yes, of course, people shouldn't be marginalized because of their race. They shouldn't be marginalized because of their sex, shouldn't be marginalized because of physical disability or things of that nature, things that have nothing to do with morality. But there are 100% people who should be marginalized from society for engaging in behaviors that are destructive to their neighbor and to the world around them. So, and this is going sort of back to the idea of where do things go next? All right, well, once you've marginalized people who want to prey upon children by destroying their bodies through gender-confirming surgery, then your next group is, well, you've got, I suppose you've got polygamy to defend those groups. And then certainly incestuous relationships as well as pedophilic relationships.
Finally, with just about a minute here, all of this has very, very dark, as we've discussed here, implications. And it strikes me that wokeness as a religion is almost a worship of self-destruction. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's true. That again, kind of going back to what I was saying before, is that it's just like a camera reverse. For those of you who ever actually developed film and a negative image on the film that you had, and it was just a color reverse image of the actual thing. And that's what wokeness is it just seeks to say, what does God say is good? And then defines as what's righteous the opposite of that. So God says that purity is good. Therefore, to be holy and just, we have to claim that every form of perversion is great and holy and wonderful. God declares that truth, that knowledge, that nature and the way that he ordered creation is good. Therefore, we have to say that things that are distortions of creation are the things that are actually good and pure and holy. It's just a reactionary response religion that seeks to define itself and seeks to find glory and righteousness in being the opposite of what is actually true. But in some ways, that's kind of helpful, because in the end, you just say, if I want to be a holy person in the eyes of God, what do I need to do? Well, I'll just do the opposite of what the woke crowd tells me. I'll believe in order. I'll believe in nature. I'll believe in truth. And I'll believe, finally, in one thing that the woke crowd absolutely does not believe in, which is forgiveness and mercy. And you find that at the foot of Jesus, and you'll be in good shape.
With about 30 seconds here, if you had a few minutes to sit down with actor Chris Evans as a pastor and address what he said publicly, what would you say as a pastor?
Well, I think a big part of the issue is that Chris Evans has a brother who identifies as gay. And I think the way I would approach it pastorally is, I get that that's all connected with this, that you have someone in your life who you love very dearly who identifies this way, and that you think the best way to love and serve that person is to full-throated embrace every aspect of this world that he's claimed as his own. But then the question is just to go back and say, is that actually the loving thing to do for your brother? Do you want your brother to be happy? Do you want him to have a life that's fulfilling and a life that's filled with peace? And is it really the most insane, hateful, wretched thing in the world to suggest that the God of love and mercy that we serve would not place peace and happiness and fulfillment inside of that of physical destruction and psychological destruction and pain and sorrow and rejection that is what makes up so much of the homosexual life? Or does God actually provide a much happier and wonderful and loving life for your brother, for those in this world who struggle with the same temptations, at the foot of Jesus, who calls them away from being slaves to their passions and welcomes all who believe in him to be his brothers in his kingdom?
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Childless Chris Evans' Inspiring Condemnation of Anti-LGBT Bigots. Those people die off like dinosaurs. You'll find a link to it on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be talking about the decline of the American dream with Tim Carney, senior political columnist at the Washington Examiner, on the other side of the break. And then Michael Bendis, who argued the case of Carson v. Macon, recently won that case before the U.S. Supreme Court, will join us to discuss the U.S. Supreme Court's rejection of Maine's ban on aid to religious schools.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.